We have two scripture readings this morning. The first comes from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And then from John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, within our culture, on December 25th, many observe that as the last of their Christmas celebrations. There might be some family celebrations that happen in the next coming weeks, but pretty much December 25th, Christmas ends. But in the church calendar, the Christmas season extends all the way to January 6th, where we celebrate Epiphany, or the arrival of the wise men. And so Christmas within the church is more than just a day. It's a season. So you have the season of Advent leading up to Christmas, and then also the season of Christmas. And so really it begins Christmas Eve, and it's traditional to light candles as the Christmas Eve service. Throughout Advent, we light the Advent wreath as part of the service, but then once you arrive at Christmas, the candles are traditionally lit before the service, signifying that our light has come. And really, this season of Christmas, from Christmas Eve onward, is really central around this idea that Christ has arrived, that we have this great light that is now shining in our world. And so, as we arrive at a brand new year, the question is always that pops into our minds, so what are we going to do with it? And it's a question I've been asking myself, what am I going to do with 2023? I don't even know if I can tell you with absolute certainty what I did with 2022. You know, I know that some stuff got accomplished. I know that I made it through. I know that, you know, my family is here and thriving. But, you know, we as Rod mentioned, though, we often make these resolutions that we quickly forget about. You know, the weight loss resolutions or, you know, my resolutions are always the same year after year, which shows how good I am at keeping them, you know, but, you know, lose a little bit weight, eat healthier, have better sleep habits, maybe watch a little bit less TV, you know, read my Bible more, all of these wonderful things. But I think Rod had, you know, he hit the nail on the head that our New Year's resolution or what our focus should be is Jesus and our relationship with him. And really, that's what Isaiah and John are getting at, is that really it begins with our relationship with Jesus. So we're going to be primarily talking about the passage from John chapter 8. And to just give you a little bit of context, we need to kind of understand where Jesus was when he said what he said. We learn, if you read a little bit further in John chapter 8, in verse 20, it says that all of this occurred in the treasury, or technically what was called the court of women. It was one of the busiest courts in the temple, and there were these, inside of the room, there were these great treasure chests, or what were called trumpets because of their shape. They were shaped kind of like trumpets, and they were designed for people as they were coming in to give offerings. And so the first two trumpets were for half shekels, which every Jew who came into the temple was expected to pay. They're expected to put in these half shekels into these trumpets. The second two trumpets were for offerings of pigeons, for rites of purification. The fifth trumpet was for wood, for sacrifices. The sixth trumpet was for incense. And the seventh was for the upkeep of the gold vessels of the temple. And then if anybody had any money left, the remaining six trumpets were for love offerings, undesignated giving. And because of these trumpets, this was one of the most highly trafficked courts within the temple. Everyone who entered the temple was expected to go through there, expected to give of their offerings. It was part of what they would have done as good Jews. It was also in this treasury, where during the Feast of Tabernacles, a couple of celebrations took place. One of those celebrations was called the Illumination of the Temple. The Illumination of the Temple took place in the treasury at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles, and it was this spectacular celebration. So in the center of the treasuries were these great torches. Some say that they reached as high as the temple reached. And they are filled with these vast quantities of oil. And young, able-bodied priests would carry the oil up. And then at the appropriate time, all of these torches would be lit, and they would illuminate all of the temple and really much of Jerusalem. And then the people, after the torches would lit, the people would dance and music would be played, and the priests would lead the people in this celebration. And it was all designed to celebrate and to commemorate when God had led them out of Egypt and had led them in the wilderness through a pillar of fire. How there had been this great light that had led the people. And so this festival of illuminating the temple was to celebrate that and to commemorate that as part of, the Feast of Tabernacles. And so in this well-trafficked, greatly illuminated place, this is where Jesus, in the middle of the crowds, boldly declares, "I am the light of the world." In the midst of everything that was going on, what he's essentially saying is, "I am God." So do you remember that pillar that came between you and the Egyptians near the Red Sea, the pillar that protected you and led you on your wanderings in the wilderness? I am that light. I am the one who delivered you out of Egypt. I am the one who protected you. I am the one that provided for you. I am the one that guided you through the wilderness. That is me. This incredible claim that Jesus was making, saying that, not only is he the light now, but he is the light that has always been. That he is the light that protects, that provides, that guides us. He's saying, just as that pillar of fire protected, provided, and guided for the Israelites as they wandered through the desert, he's saying, I can be that light for you now. He was saying that to the Jews that day in the temple, and he's saying that to us now. Then in a world that seems full of darkness, where we are often without direction or knowing exactly which way to go or what to do with this new year, he's saying, don't forget, I will guide you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. So Jesus is making this bold claim for his people. And so he's saying this about himself, that he is God. That Jesus, even before he was born in Bethlehem, was amongst his people. We see him, appear in the Old Testament in things like a pillar of fire. It says, you know, he hovered over the waters at creation. You know, he appears in the burning bush to Moses. The angel of the Lord appears over and over again. Jesus has been with us since before the beginning. And he will be with us until after the end. He is eternal. He is the light that cannot be extinguished. And what one of the wonderful things about this is that is the end of verse 12 is this claim that he makes for the people who follow him. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Although it may feel like it, my people will never walk in darkness. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness complained a lot. You know, it would have been better for us to stay in Egypt. At least we had food. And God is saying, just trust in me. I'm leading you to something better. Things might not seem great right now, but do you not understand how miraculous it is to have a pillar of fire guiding you? This visible reminder that God is with you. So he guided them. And he provides similar benefits for us now. Because it says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You will have or be given or have it in your possession, the light of life. Because the light of Christ not only shines in our world, but it is planted inside of us and it is designed to shine through us. That not only is Jesus our hope and our light, a beacon in the midst of a dark and crazy sea, but he calls us to join in that. You know, so at the Christmas Eve service, the candlelight service, where the candle starts as one and the flame quickly spreads throughout the congregation. You know, one candle is not always that bright. But then you have this many burning bright. And so that light shining in us is the light of Christ, which cannot be extinguished. It cannot be diminished. It always shines bright. You know, people, I think a lot of times in our humanity, we think things like, well, who am I? You know, Jesus is in me, but, you know, my light really isn't that bright. Do I really have much to offer? And the answer is yes. So on my keys that I carry with me every day, I have a couple of tools or reminders. I have this kind of gross piece of cloth that I got on a mission trip. I don't know how many years ago. It used to be blue. It's gray. But it's a reminder to pray. I have this tile because I lose my keys at least once a day. And so it, you know, it's controlled by my phone, and it'll beep and tell me where it is. And then I have this flashlight, which is really not very bright at all. But if you've ever come to this church late at night and tried to get inside of the doors, and not only is it a little bit creepy, but it is incredibly difficult because it is dark. And this little light is just bright enough for me to be able to see the lock and get my key in the door. And so the whole point of that is that this light, compared to a lot of other lights, really isn't that bright. But it gets me in the door. So your light may not be that bright. Maybe your walk with Jesus hasn't been that spectacular. But I'm here to tell you, and Jesus is here to remind you, that it's not about you, it's about him. And his light is bright enough to open the door. And he will use you to open the door for other people to come into relationship with him. And so that is my encouragement for you as we enter into this new year. The chances are that things in our world aren't going to get measurably better. That 2023 is probably going to be just as challenging as the years leading up to it. But in the midst of that, we have this great and bright light that guides us. You know, Christmas morning, I talked about how the light of the world has already come, but it's hard to see it if your eyes are closed. Friends, we need to open our eyes to Jesus. Maybe that means you need to open the pages of your Bible. Maybe that means that you need to pray a little bit more. Maybe it means that you need to look for him in your neighbors. Maybe it means that you simply need to find moments of stillness and quiet. But however it needs to be done, open your eyes to Jesus more and allow him to be your guide in this new year. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your great light has entered into our world. That your light cannot be extinguished or diminished. That it shines brightly. That it shines in us. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use us to shine your light into the darkness of the world around us. And that we would lead others to the door that awaits them. And that they would be opened by your love, by your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for that. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.